Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, this is my fifth Vision Sunday, if you would believe it. I know. last year, we shared the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And we walked with them as they needed to make a big decision. Not knowing how things would go, would they seize the divine moment, cross over the valley, climb up, and face the Philistines? They do that, not knowing what God would bring, but entering into his adventure rather than sitting under the pomegranate tree, if you remember. As they did that, the rest of the army of Israel joined in and they won the victory. And we concluded our time by saying, seizing a divine moment will bring you into the middle of God's saving work, which is exactly the adventure you were designed for. And so 12 months later, I wanted to ask the question, did we seize the moment in 2023? And what's next in the adventure? It's not difficult to see that we really did seize a number of moments that God put in front of us this past year. We've gone in with both feet into Farsi ministry, Faith Foundations, taking youth to VCYC, Young Adults Tuesday at church. We just had our last one for the year during the week, and it was really, really rich. And just our times of worship and the Word in many moments, Sundays, United Worship, Encounter Nights, Bible studies. This to me, of course, is our... And the boys, please, in the back row. It's perfect. This is just quintessential moment seized for me. This is a moment seized investing in our youth and our young people, multicultural congregation. It's incredible. We have really seen ourselves just stabilize as a welcoming, multicultural and often multilingual community on a Sunday morning. We've seen significant, bedding of our multi-generational discipleship and evangelism. You can see the list. Our Farsi-speaking discipleship and evangelism, into which we invested significantly this year, is bearing much fruit. And our mission into multicultural and multi-generational spaces of need is also fruitful and alive. Cambodia with CMS, Papua and Indonesia with Wycliffe Prisons, not just with Prison Fellowship, but also with our own congregation members going into prisons and providing mentoring. Link Manningham, Leprosy Mission, and more. And it occurred to me that the moments that we had seized this year really were in these two categories. So much so that I want to bring to parish council a possible amendment to our vision. Can we and should we, even though it's a mouthful, say that Deep Creek Anglican is a welcoming and growing multi-generational and multicultural church with refreshing faith in Jesus Christ? It is there in our 12 habits. It kind of sits there as our global and hospitable habits. But it hasn't been in our front-facing vision. It's been true of us for as long as probably most can remember, and if those who were here when we had flags up on the walls, when I was too young to be the minister. It's been true of us for decades, and I want Parish Council in this coming year to prayerfully consider whether we might add that, recognising not only what exists, but the mission and ministry that we have for this place. But I believe that we are not moving into a new chapter. I believe we're still in the same chapter that God has for us, this same adventure. Not only is it exhausting to try and think of something new to do every 12 months, it's not actually true of the journey, the adventure that God has us on. But even if we've reached the end of the page, we must turn over to this next section of the adventure. And I believe that the call is to be the church. Be the church. Don't go to church. Vision Sunday, our pastor said, don't go to church. Be the church. Don't wait for inspiration. Don't wait for life to change. Be the church. And this is the question I want to ask you. Do you believe that the existence on the earth of a church with refreshing faith in Jesus Christ is a spiritual weapon and witness in God's war on evil? Do you believe that the existence on the earth of a church like ours, as we join with all the others, is a spiritual weapon in God's war bringing salvation? Well, as Daniel read for us in Ephesians chapter 3, that's exactly how God describes the church. Paul says his, God's intent was now through the church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Sometimes Paul says through Jesus. Sometimes Paul says, it's you, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And here he says, it's through the church that God is working his purposes out in the world. And so it's a great privilege to be called to be the church. Because the church is how God will show the power of Jesus to the whole universe. In the book of Ephesians, that is in the way in which Jesus has brought together cultures, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, old and young, slave and free, creating something that doesn't just look like a great bunch of friends centered around the homogeneous unit principle, which makes you grow, you know, find other people like you and keep finding more people like you. All over the world, people not like us are following Jesus. That is the point of God's power creating the church, people not like us, brought together in Jesus Christ and made new, forgiven, redeemed, actually new people together as one. Now, when we say be the church, we often mean go out of these doors and carry the presence of God, live out the message of Jesus, you know, preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. But I do want to say it's not this place. So often we want to encourage people to live out their faith. I do as well. And we say, go from here. Live it every day. Be 24/7, 365. But it's also here. It's also this place, this people. And I say that because of the reading that Autumn gave us from Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's a partnership here between apostles and people. Between, yes, there were leaders, but also what you see throughout is that the fellowship, the being together in homes, being together in public, being together in the temple courts. It is possible to be a Christian by yourself in your room. It is not possible to be the church without at some point being together. And that was how the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so in our call to be the church, it's a call to be all together and to be the church all the time. Now I wanted to share with you about our staff resources for 2024 because it's a partnership between leaders and us all together all the time. This is what our team will look like in 2024. There's me, I'm still full time. We have Pedram and Layli, who from February will be combined at one full time, but we hope and we are continuing to seek grants to push that up to 1.4 together if we can. New is Nick Clark going up to full time with us as Generations Minister. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Yeah. It's a terrifically healthy thing to be able to promote from within because it means that the culture and also the investment that we've made in someone like Nick actually brings more fruit and he jumps off even quicker. But to assist him, we're adding Generations intern, Rachel McConnell, on 1.5 days a week. And Samantha continues our office, safe ministry and events on 2 days a week. Now, how will the Generations team work? I'm sure you're wondering. So our children's and youth ministry will now be under one team so that a seamless strategy for discipleship and evangelism can be implemented for all our young people. Nick will have oversight of Fridays and Sundays, and he will spend 2 Sundays a month with the kids and 2 with the youth. He will prioritize empowering volunteers. Rachel will lead Faith Foundations 2.0 on the first Sunday of the month and keep developing our senior study nights as outreach and connection for the older youth. Vanessa Barnes will be a volunteer team member and she'll have a special responsibility for developing a creative program that runs on the first Sundays for kids, a little bit like Faith Foundations Mini for kids, particularly focusing on prayer. Heidi will lead our playgroup as a volunteer, and that will change to a Thursday morning so that she can keep running that for us. And Layli will be part of the rostered Generations team, but she'll also be freed up for other sorts of ministry to prepare her for priesting, God willing, at the end of 2024. So our staff resources are reducing. We knew that already. We've, at the moment, dropped about 1.4 full-time equivalent in the team. It's true. We have fewer official resources. But I am absolutely confident that God has made sure we've got plenty of resources for this next chapter or this next page in our current chapter. They don't have to be fancy. They don't have to be official. They might need to be uncovered, unlocked, or unleashed. But they are here. For what God wants us to do, God has poured out His Holy Spirit's gifts and resources on the church. They might be you. Now, studies show, actually, that churches that make an impact are those that don't rely on a large staff team to do the work of ministry, but are all in it together. Now, I'm not saying this doesn't mean that we won't look to increase our staff team in the future if that is how things have grown, if that's where we need a specialist, something like that. But actually, George Hunter of Asbury Theological Seminary, and I want to listen to a lot of things that come out of Asbury, seeing that they were the locus of a move of God earlier in the year. 10 features of apostolic or Acts 2 type churches today. They have strong biblical content, they're earnest in prayer, they have a compassion for the lost, obedience to the Great Commission to go and make disciples. They have a vision for what people can become. I think that's us. They can culturally adapt to the target population. And then they have small groups, strong lay ministries, and every member and every seeker receives regular pastoral care from a lay person. That is, people are connected to someone in the church. They don't need to receive something official. They just need to be connected to you. Could be coffee, could be picnic, could be watching a movie, could be reading the Bible. And they have many ministries to the unchurched. Now, you may be thinking, well, it's unfortunately that we've got fewer staff members because I think Deep Creek needs something more. There are people we are not refreshing, either in the church and outside the church. And I'd say, absolutely, you're right. We are not reaching everybody who we could reach. And there are people in our church who feel like they're not as connected as they want to be, or that they have needs that are not being met. Now, in the past, when you felt this way, you sensed something was missing, you would tell the staff or the parish council, and the hope was that a new regular ministry was created and populated with volunteers. I can tell you that is not how it works today. I don't know if you remember earlier in the year we had Hospitality Sunday. We went to each other's homes and it was brilliant. You know, there was like, I don't know, 60 people involved or something or more. We advertised it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. We had 2 people sign up. 2. Until I texted every single person personally in the church and said, would you like to go to Hospitality Sunday? Oh, yes, I would, actually. Fantastic. I'm not stressed about that, but I use that as an illustration to say things have changed. So much information is coming at people constantly. I'd love to think that my incredible authority, winsomeness, and charisma up the front made it possible to say, we want to do this. And we do it. But it's not the case. It's so hard, actually, for any of us to hear something and think, Where's the space in my life for that? Oh, I will get around to that. Oh, yes, I might. Yep, I must, in the back of my mind, sign up for that thing. Really, only personal connections work. Also, we cannot just add if we want to grow but not burn out. We can't assume that we have the gifts for everything that could be done. We have the gifts for the things that God wants us to do right now. We can't do this if we want to be the church altogether. Because if you remember in Ephesians 4, Paul says those that are given to be apostles or prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. In Ephesians 2, Paul says that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the work he's prepared in advance for you to do. If we always expect things to be official, then we may not actually be living out our calling to be the church. And finally, if we want to keep in step with God's mission, I like to follow Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Life, Saddleback Church, his advice, which is to never start anything unless you already have a leader for it. I think that is great advice because it shows that God is already moving. And so what I want to encourage us is a different model in this coming year. Because I think we could be doing all kinds of things. But what I'd love for you to consider is if something comes to your heart or a few of you or your group or your youth, whatever it is, sensing something missing which aligns with our vision, next, assess your own prayerful passions, gifts and time. Is this something that actually resonates with you or that you could free up or that you've got a pattern of life that you could kind of commit to this? If so, find one or two others to do a one-off with you. Give it a try. Don't say, we're going to do a new fortnightly blah, 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 blah. Let's try this thing. And if you think, yeah, we want to keep going, repeat when you're ready. That for us is going to bring new people into expressing their gifts in the church without us burning out. And I'd love you to check in at any point, all the points, and to know that you're doing this in the context and with the resources of Deep Creek. I will use my winsomeness and charisma and authority from the front in partnership with you. But I can tell you that's not the key resource. It's this. But I wanted to talk to those of you who think, nope, I'm exhausted. I don't feel like things are refreshing at church or in my faith or that much, but I can't do more. What do I do with my dissatisfaction? I want to say to you, it's not wrong to feel a holy discontent if it's discontent at things like shallow religious routine, mundane middle-class respectability, something not that you're even looking at other people for, but that you see in yourself. These will not bring refreshing faith. Many of us have grown up over the last 10, 20 years and wonder where that passion went. And it's right to have a holy discontent about that. I love this passage from Thessalonians, and we're going to look at Thessalonians later next year, where Paul says, we know that God has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. an all-in-together growing and welcoming multi-generational and multicultural club is just a club. We're called to be the church. This great book by Mark Sayers, written about 4 years ago, called Reappearing Church, talks about the process of renewal. And actually for him, holy discontent is an essential part of a church moving away from decline. And I don't mean decline in numbers, although it may be that. Decline away from the purposes of God into renewal and revival, what we all long for. Holy discontent, saying something's not right, this is not refreshing, something's wrong in our own home, something's wrong here, something's wrong in our ministry, we need to go deeper. Holy discontent is right. But you can't stay there. What Mark Sayers says is that in order for the ship to turn around, holy discontent needs to be followed by what he calls contending prayer. He contrasts this type of prayer with consumerism. And he says, we've expected to receive, but we say, no, something's not right. I'm not getting what I need. I'm not doing what I want. Rather than saying, where will I find it? We start to fight for it in prayer. Contending is to say, I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to put my resources into this. I'm going to fight. Contending prayer then starts to change you. And you start to see ways of having new patterns of life, just for pockets of people. You know, it doesn't have to be everybody all at once. Absolutely not. If there's a thing that God is doing, it might only be in a small group over here. And as they faithfully push into it, then the rest of the body, because we are a body, we are connected to each other. The health that comes from that pocket and that pocket and that pocket starts to bring renewal and revival for the whole church. That's a super, super short summary, and maybe you want to grab the book. So I want to say to those of you who think, I can't start anything new. Megan, don't even ask me to be the church. What does that mean? I can barely get to church. They're just two things. Contending prayer and new patterns of life. That's what I want to put before you for 2024. I can't do them for you, but I can hold the space and create the space for you. None of my authority, winsomeness, and charisma up the front will have anything to do with it, if any of those three things exist. So I want to talk to you. If you are feeling exhausted, contending prayer and new patterns of life. So five Vision Sundays. The first one, looking into 2020, was Refreshing Faith, where we changed the logo and did all of that, because that's what you do when you just come into a church. You've been here for like 3 months. You go, right, we're rebranding the whole thing. Actually, it was recognizing who we are. The second one, oh, we just had the first year of COVID, and our call was to not grow weary of doing good. We'd been sharing food vouchers, we'd been making meals, we'd been delivering bags. It was good. The next one, fame, flexibility, and fighting that FOMO. Coming out of another year of lockdowns and saying, what's it going to be like when we can actually do things and we're bombarded with an increasing fear of missing out? Will God provide for us? Will prioritizing Him actually give us the life we want? And then last year into this was seize the divine moment. And for us in 2024, with an amazing generations team and multicultural ministry, we're called to be the church. We're on a same adventure, and we're called to please turn over. Now, for our staff, in supporting us in this, we feel that if there's anything we add or any priorities we are called to have in the existing ministries, it is prayer, training, and outreach. Prayer, our growth groups will be doing the prayer course coming out of the 24/7 prayer movement in first term. We've got a number of 24-hour prayer experiences. Don't worry, the first one, you don't have to actually be here for 24 hours. I did realize, just as I was saying, be the church all together, all the time, that sounded like I meant you to be here all together, all the time. We might have a couple of those moments, but... and then, of course, our encounter nights. We are engaging a movement called Ripple Effect, which has a number of units of studies helping the church to transition away from the way it's thought about evangelism in the past to being able to naturally share our faith today. So Julianne Laird will be coming, who's created the program, giving us a sermon on a Sunday, providing a workshop for us. There'll be growth group studies, and there'll be opportunities for those that want to know more to join a mentoring community with her as well. We've got a number of fantastic sermon series planned, and not all of them will be, let's just learn what's in the scriptures. I'm particularly looking forward to what I call the bread and butter of Christian life, which is how to forgive and be forgiven. And whatever we do in our various ministries with our team, these will be our foci: prayer, training, and outreach. So it's 11:05. And I want to ask you this question again. Do you believe that the existence on the earth of an all-in-together, praying, spirit-empowered church with refreshing faith in Jesus is a spiritual weapon and witness in God's war on evil? This is a privilege to be part of this. God's doing something in my heart about that privilege, because I don't always find it easy, and I'm sure you don't either. It's hard to navigate being part of the church in this world. Things are changing extremely fast. It's hard to navigate being part of the church when we're growing up. We've got kids that are growing up. We're trying to provide for them, constantly bombarded with messages about what the good life really looks like. It's hard when church seems challenging, when people seem distant, when we don't have as many friends here as we might wish. It's hard when people go away, numbers fluctuate, it's hard. It's actually an incredible power and privilege. This is what God has chosen to show his power to the world. It's not you having to go out there. It's this. We will go out there together. We will invite people in. But God's plan to show his love and power to the world is the creation of a church. And so I just want to ask you, do you want to be part of it? If you don't know how, then it's contending prayer and patterns of life. Just hold on to that. Will you, I'm just going to take a moment, will you be the church in 2024? I'm just going to ask us to sit with our eyes closed. We're going to move into a time of prayer. And we've got a bunch of people who are going to pray for us from the congregation. I'll just run around with a microphone. But before we do that, this is a chance for you to commit to this incredible creation of God. If it is God that is asking you and me, will you be the church? Just take this moment to answer him. If it's, I don't know, that's okay. If it's, help me say yes, that's okay. Let's continue in an attitude of prayer.